changes at State Farm are hanging over the local economy in many ways, from real estate to jobs to philanthropy. It may also be one of the big pressures on the struggling Bloomington Normal hotel industry. They're facing low occupancy and falling room rates. Ray Sarisa runs the DoubleTree by Hilton in Bloomington. He's also president of the local hotel and lodging association. He tells GLT's Ryan Denham it's a dismal situation.
Year to date, 2018, we're off to a very slow start. Usually our season starts in about March and goes all the way till Thanksgiving. It didn't really start in March this year. We're kind of seeing it right now, actually in April, mid-April, at my property. Year to date through March, I don't have April's numbers yet. Our Bloomington Normal hotels are only at a 44% occupancy rate, which is, I think last year we finished about 52-53%.
And when you say occupancy rate, just for our listeners to understand what that concept means.
Well, you got a 100-room hotel, only 44 of those rooms are booked.
If we're at 44% occupancy rate as of, the end of March, how does that compare to what other metro areas and statewide averages? Is that low, do you think, compared to other areas?
We are low compared to other areas. We are a little bit comparable to Peoria, last I talked to some of the folks over there.
So why do you think that the occupancy rate is so low in Bloomington Normal?
A number of reasons. Really, the number one is probably all the activity at State Farm. You know, State Farm is doing a lot, but they're doing a lot in Phoenix and in Dallas and in Atlanta. So a lot of their travel is going that way, and we're not seeing as much transient business. And transient's the independent business traveler coming to Bloomington Normal.
What other factors go into that?
You know, people are watching their dollar. I talk to my sales department all the time, and, you know, for a meeting room for a full day, for a small meeting room, we might charge $250. You know, people are coming in and saying, well, that's way over my budget. I'm at 50 bucks, you know, and that's kind of what we're dealing with day to day with clients.
When a market is at 44% occupancy, like it is right now, so what does that actually mean then for a hotel's bottom line? How does that impact you? Are you making different types of staffing decisions, trying to save money elsewhere? How does that actually play out then?
Absolutely. That's the general manager's role to, you know, we have to shave dollars off the bottom line. And that our number one expense is payroll. It is labor. So unfortunately, those folks that we count on to work our front desk, clean our rooms, serve our banquets, we have to closely watch their hours because it can easily, I don't want to say get out of control, but if you're not watching those hours, then your bottom line gets much worse. Anything spending, too. We're looking at all of our regular purchases on a monthly basis to see if we can get better pricing from different vendors, shopping around. You know, we're always going to need new towels, new sheets, new soaps, things like that. Can we get a better price from somewhere else?
Are there certain types of hotels in our market that are doing better than others, either upscale hotels, or even like very economy-priced hotels? I mean, is there variance then within sort of the range?
Sure. I can't speak on behalf of each individual hotel because we don't necessarily share our occupancy rates, our occupancy percentage and rates with each other. The report and the 44% I got is our hotels collectively report to a company called Smith Travel Research, and they send out the numbers to those who participate in it. I can tell you my hotel is about 20% ahead of the market. And so if that tells you, you know, DoubleTree is a full service hotel, but we also have a huge conference center. So, you know, with conferences and weddings and things like that, and that conference center is there to fill the hotel rooms. Yeah, I'm sure there is a difference in the different types of different classes of hotels, some doing better. Again, my hotel is still down. So, like I said before, I have to figure out ways to cut expenses or watch my expenses so I can keep improve the bottom line.
So the average daily rate for a room is also down. It looks like it's about $87 a night at this point. That's down about 2%. So what is the significance of that, seeing the average daily rate of a room decline?
Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. It doesn't seem that much by 2%, but when you do the math, even at my hotel, if I'm down a couple bucks, you know, and I'm you know, we have thousands of rooms per month, it's thousands of dollars just for my property. And what happens is when we see a lull in occupancy, you know, it's supply and demand. You know, you're going to cut your rates down, and maybe you're going to grab that budget-conscious client that's looking for the best deal. And then it's a trickle-down effect.
So, Ray, you've mentioned these challenges that the local hotel business faces with occupancy rates and even seeing the average daily rate of a room decline. Like, what can be done about it? Is there anything from a local policymaking perspective or in promoting tourism? Is there anything that would alleviate any of this pressure that you guys are feeling?
Really, what we need is some economic development. And we're heading in that direction. Our EDC here in town has, along with the town of Normal and the city of Bloomington, we've attracted some new businesses to the area. We're very excited about that in the hotel industry. Brandt being one of them. There was one announced last night, and I didn't write down the name of the company, that was supposed to create 100 new jobs. Also Rivian, we're keeping our fingers crossed that Rivian is a huge success and generates hotel rooms for our market. And, even if they're not staying at my hotel, coming into the market, that's gonna help everybody. And not just hotels, it's gonna help restaurants, it's gonna help gas stations, it's gonna help retail, everything in the economy. So we need more and more. We need some big companies to come to Bloomington Normal. We've got the talent. We have great hotels. We have 3 interstates that meet here. So we're 2 hours from Chicago, 2.5, 3 hours to St. Louis, 3 hours in Indianapolis. It's a great community, and we just need to get the word out to companies looking to grow or expand or move. Let them know about Bloomington, and we're doing that. I don't know if some marketing or exactly what the answer is, but that's what we need, some more economic development.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with Ray Cerisa, general manager at the DoubleTree by Hilton in Bloomington and also president of the Bloomington Normal Hotel and Lodging Association. Let's pivot and talk about Airbnb and some of these other home sharing platforms where you can rent out your place or a room in your place to someone else privately. What impact have these home sharing platforms had on the local hotel marketplace?
Well, last I looked, there were just over 60 Airbnb listings, and it fluctuates. They drop in, they drop off, and they're not necessarily, I don't think, listed every single day, 365 days a year, but 60 Airbnb listings, that's 60 hotel rooms. They're taking away 60 hotel rooms from us. Now, Airbnb is not going away, just like Uber and Lyft aren't going away. But we recognize that, and all we ask is that they play by the same rules that the hotels have to. We pay taxes. We pay a 12% occupancy tax per room. Airbnb's taxing. There's a part on there that they collect. They can collect tax, but are these owners actually turning around and paying that tax? And part of our occupancy tax here in Bloomington goes to the CVB, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And the idea of, and that's an intergovernmental agreement between the Town of Normal and the City of Bloomington to take a portion of that lodging tax and give it to the CVB so they can reinvest it in their marketing and their efforts to bring new business or tournaments and conferences and bring them to Bloomington Normal to and Airbnb's they're not doing that. Also, we have fire inspections by the Town of Normal and City of Bloomington. We have to have exit signs over, like any commercial facility, exit signs over every exit. We have to have working fire extinguishers. We have a fire panel. Are these Airbnbs being inspected? What if there's a fire and there was no working sprinkler system or smoke detectors or fire system and someone gets killed? We do all that. We just want them to also play by the same rules. A lot of the Airbnb folks, too, aren't just like a lot of them aren't you and me renting out your couch or renting out the basement. Some of these are businesses that are renting out vacant apartments, so they're companies. Champaign-Urbana is a good example. They have over 300 Airbnb listings. Most of those are vacant apartments, or one was even, there's a story out there where there was a fraternity house that I think they lost their chapter or something like that. Well, they had an empty fraternity house. Well, they rented it. They turned it over to a couple that was going to manage it, an Airbnb, the fraternity house. And it was equivalent to, I have to look at the article, but it was like 30 hotel rooms in just this fraternity house. And Champaign-Urbana has, you know, they have a mom's weekend and a dad's day weekend, and they have homecoming, where all the hotels were always jam-packed, and they count on those weekends to make their money. They weren't filling the hotels because of the amount of Airbnb listings in Champaign-Urbana. So my point is, it's already out of control in Champaign-Urbana. Bloomington Normal, it's, you know, we're only at 60 listings. We need to act upon it now in order to, before it gets out of control, and it's like, what do we do now? There's way too many of them. So, you know, Champaign-Urbana, 300 plus listings, that's a 300 room hotel.
So, and you've recently asked Bloomington and Normal officials to add the Airbnb issue to their agendas and to act quickly, as you put it. So what specifically are you hoping that they do?
Just a little bit of regulation. This, you know, the same rules that we have to play by. You know, pay taxes, get that money to the CVB to attract, you know, businesses or conferences and sporting events and things to the area. It needs to be addressed before it gets out of control. Because let's say it does get out of control and, you know, it's equivalent to a 300-room hotel, you're going to start seeing some of these smaller hotels or these hotels that aren't maybe just scraping by, they're going to end up closing. You know, we need to support our current businesses that have been here, that have been paying taxes all these years, you know, providing jobs and contributing to the local economy. We just ask that these Airbnb listings do the same.
Why are people turning to Airbnb even in a market like this, where, as we discussed earlier, you know, there's a lot of empty hotel rooms and they're getting cheaper. Mm-hmm. So why do people still turn to these private home sharing options?
That's a good question. Especially, you know, in our market, I could see if you're going to a touristy area on a lake somewhere and want to rent out a cabin or something like that, this would be a great vehicle to rent something like that. But here for an apartment, I don't know. I don't know. I've never rented an Airbnb.
That's Ray Cerisa, general manager at the DoubleTree by Hilton in Bloomington, and also president of the Bloomington Normal Hotel and Lodging Association. I'm Ryan Denham.
You can see an interactive graphic showing Bloomington Normal hotel occupancy rates compared with other cities at our website, wglt.org. It's Sound Ideas.